Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Saving money on your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
So last Rebus Hernandez was reported missing three times in 1 year while she was allegedly having some form of a relationship with the artist David. She was 13 the first time she allegedly ran. Some reports say that it might have been even earlier than that. By 14, she was allegedly living inside a Hollywood Hills home with a rising music star, 7 years older. The charges against David Anthony Burke are horrific. But the part of the story that should terrify every parent listening is everything that happened before. A child disappeared into a celebrity's world, and nobody stopped it. That's where we're going to be again today. Your thoughts, drop them in the questions area in the comment section on Substack, YouTube, Facebook, X, wherever you're watching us. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, is joining myself and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, as we dive deep into the mind of David Anthony Burke, known as David. Siobhan, let's start here. Burke's friends thought Celeste was 19 and in college. At least that's what they're telling everybody now. She had fake IDs. She was at clubs. There are people saying she fooled everyone. Why is that such a dangerous narrative in this case right now as we try to understand who knew what and when, that she fooled everyone?
Yeah.
This is someone who was a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just start there.
Go ahead. I call BS on that yeah. Everybody thought she was older. You know, she doesn't look older. She looks like a young adolescent, which is what she was.
Yeah.
In the, you know, the live stream video that we saw of the two of them together, she presented as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's just trying to cover their own butts at this point. Oh, we didn't know, we didn't know, we didn't know. And I just don't buy it. I think it's self-serving.
And it also doesn't matter in the law either. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Her age is her age. And so they can rationalize all they want, but it's still illegal.
Yeah.
The verbiage and the stories that are coming out here, we're hearing, oh, her other boyfriend said this, and she's a 13-year-old girl. Like, how many boyfriends has she had? What kind of experience is going on here in life? And that's an interesting thing about this case, because from what we understand, it seems that this girl didn't necessarily grow up in the best of environments. She's running away multiple times. That's a whole other conversation. What's inspiring her to constantly run away? But the fact that she kind of had, from what we understand, a hard life, probably grew up a bit faster than everybody else, maybe did act a bit more mature than her age. But that seems to be such a thing with this case. And unfortunately, with young people who end up having to mature before their actual age says that they're old enough, they carry themselves differently. They carry mm-hmm. themselves with a little more maturity. And it seems that the adults in the room around don't recognize that, or they recognize it and they accept it when they really shouldn't. Nobody should be looking at a 13-year-old girl and going, oh, well, she's just more mature for her age, so we're just going to treat her like an adult going forward. That's not okay. That's never okay. And I don't care who you are, especially the parents shouldn't be treating her that way. But it seems everybody in her orbit was treating her that way.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things, I'm not knocking all men, of course, but I remember being 12 and having predatory 30-year-olds, you know, trying to give me rides home from school. And it's very seductive when you're a young teen girl and you're surrounded by predatory men. Who will always say, oh, but you look older, you act older, you seem more mature. And as I've talked in my book, I met my first husband at 15 and he was 25 and, you know, and married him shortly thereafter. And one thing I heard from so many people, well, it's okay because you're so mature. And it wasn't okay. And it was pseudo-maturity. You know, it was all a facade. And I think it's a problem in our culture where there's a certain subset of men who go after young girls because they have so much power over them, and kids can be easily manipulated.
Yeah, I keep getting fixated right now on that word maturity that everyone keeps using with her. And Siobhan, from your amazing book, from your background experience, mine to a much lesser degree, I think what happens is, and I'm curious about if you agree, in using that word maturity when you're referencing someone who's so much younger, 13, but went through a lot of trauma and has a lot of reps in problem solving. In other words, I think people are mistaking someone's ability to problem solve because they face so much trauma, they face so many challenges in life that they and no one to rely on, no one to help them feel safe, no one to help work through it. So they're very adept and have life skills at solving problems to be safe, which looks like someone else who wants to manipulate their own mind and rationalize it as, well, they're just mature. No, actually, they're problem solving the chaos in their lives. Is that accurate?
I think that's a really good point. They gain some skills in survival. And so they may at times speak in a way that seems more sophisticated than a 13-year-old. Some 13-year-olds are still playing with Barbie dolls, you know, and others are out walking in the street and getting rides home from predatory men and presenting themselves as older. But it's not insight. It's not real maturity.
Right. And so you can imagine how someone with that skill set, because they come from such a horrendous background, challenging background, especially learning how to travel on your own across a country as a 13-year-old, and now you're presenting to a group of adolescent moron boys that haven't problem solved anything in their lives. You know, they know how to go on TikTok. They know how to make music. You know, it's like apples and oranges. And so it's easy to see how she looks so much different to them because they're idiots. Sorry, I used that word completely.
Well, I mean, it feels, I mean, it's so much nicer to say, oh, you're so mature for your age, rather than saying you're so traumatized. You have so many unnatural survival skills.
I mean, that's the first thing you do when you see someone that presents at such a young age with that kind of problem-solving skill set. The first thing that pops up in my mind is, what's going on in your life that made it that you needed that skill set? Because basically, we only do things we need to do. Not necessarily at that age that you want to do. So, and there's the failing. So I'm going to, I know we're poking at Celeste's family or lack thereof in intervening. Well, what, same thing on David's side, you know, what the hell, where is the parental oversight on this side saying that we're us as parents are seeing the red flags go up and say, what the hell is this?
You need to distance
yourself from some crazy here because there's some craziness going on in this life. And you're not the age or have the disposition for an underage minor to be a lifesaver.
There's red flags and questions and utter failures of parents all around in this case, it seems. She ran away three times. Let's get into that. Let's talk about her home life a little bit here, what we know or don't know about it. She was 13 and has run away three times. Her ex-boyfriend allegedly has said that she was unhappy at home and talked about leaving. The fact that a 13-year-old's even thinking, hey, maybe that's an option. Maybe I should leave. I mean, that's not good in any way, shape, or form. Why? What is a kid that age actually chasing when they keep running? And why is that the exact thing the wrong person knows how to offer?
Yeah, you're hitting on something I think is really important. It's just hard to know what her home life was because, you know, there's one factor that I don't know, and people may be talking about it. I'm not sure at this point. There are kids from very good homes who are seduced by predators online, and I see that happening so much. And it's really easy to confuse a 13-year-old or a 10-year-old. It's happening with such young kids. And I always say I have such compassion for parents who have kids, and all kids are on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to monitor what they're doing. The kids can get around that parental control software. And I've seen even in very stable, wonderful families, a kid gets hooked up with a predator on the internet and they're manipulated and they may take off. And we don't really know, just because we don't know the family, we don't have enough information. Was she running to something or was she running from something?
Great point.
And kids at 13 often hate their parents. I mean, you know, they just do. My kids, when they were 13, thought I was the dumbest person in the world. Fortunately, they grow out of it, you know, but.
Do they? Good.
Well, they do. Yeah.
Siobhan, you make such really powerful points there that I think people got to keep remembering on this, and including us. You know, when I was working with the Innocent Lives Foundation, we had one of our victims that was very vocal about her experience with her mom. Very, very loving family, very close-knit family, and she was groomed online and then shamed into not sharing what was going on, the whole isolation then, and she was groomed and eventually molested by this online groomer. And finally, it was the mother after months seeing changes and deviations from the communication style her daughter had, she became much more closed off. And so, so it can happen absolutely everywhere. So that is definitely a warning to everyone. It's you don't have to come from a bad family.
It's a huge warning. And working with so many adolescents over the years, I don't work with as many under college age kids now just because I'm older and I'm not immersed in the culture like I was when my kids were teenagers. And I knew all the musical acts, which my kids were into Nine Inch Nails and Nirvana and, you know.
The oldies now.
The oldies, yeah. It was a different culture, but I understood it all. I'm a little bit beyond adolescent culture. But it's just something that is very, very hard for parents to monitor and understand. And then the other thing I'll mention, because this always just kind of, you know, it makes my head spin sometimes, the different level of resources in families. I have had kids, let's say early teens, in treatment for different things, who had parents that were surgeons, made nearly $1 million a year. They were in private schools. They had tutors after school. You know, when they were little, they had live-in nannies. And they just had a lifestyle where there were so many resources for them. And of course, those parents were in a situation where they could really do an adequate job for their kids. And then I literally would have kids. I had a contract with the Department of Social Services, and I would get very opposite end of the spectrum families in treatment. And, you know, literally, a mom that could not afford the $10 copay for her child's antibiotics for a severe ear infection. And I pulled out the $10 and gave it to her. And, you know, when you're working at McDonald's and another shift at Taco Bell, I think parents really are stretched sometimes. And it's just shocking the difference in outcome between the parents who are highly resourced and their reason for being in therapy is their kid is applying for top tier universities and didn't get in. And so the parents are having panic attacks and freaking out. And the family where the parents are just so exhausted, you know, they mean well, they love the kids, but they're just, you know, they're just depleted. And so I've seen the whole gamut. So I tend to have compassion for those families because I so often wish you know, we had a better social safety net for people, and, you know, and they don't have access to counselors often. They don't know what to do. They do their best, but we're just not all coming from the same playing field. I was on a psychology guest on a psychology podcast yesterday, and there were some brilliant questions. And one of them was, you know, if you're awake at midnight and you can't sleep, what are you ruminating about? And for me, always, I wish I could have resourced my kids better. You know, I wish I could have given them more. I wish I did not have to work so much at night when they were kids. And, you know, when you're starting off as a new clinician, or I had three kids by the time I was in college and a grad student, I wasn't there enough. I tried my best. I love those kids dearly. And fortunately, nobody ran away. And I always said my bar was fairly low. I hope nobody ever gets arrested, you know. But I wasn't the parent that could fly them around the country looking for the best colleges and give them the kind of economic support that I wish I could have given them. And so I just tend to come from that place of compassion and assume that with the resources people have, most parents are doing their best. They don't all have skills. They just don't have the support network that they need. And so I'm just going with a guess in this case that there was some of that going on. And of course, there are, we talk about these other cases where you've got the psychopathic, sadistic parents that hurt their kids intentionally and abuse them and do terrible things to them. But that's sort of a different category than just people that are trying, but they're under-resourced.
You know, that empathetic parent that you're describing is me. I know it's Tony. That's when you're giving it your all. And I've had this conversation. My kids are older too. They're in their late 20s. You know, like, I wish I was more. I wish I'd been there more. Yeah. And I'm always getting a lot of grace from them, thankfully, because, you know, as a dad, they know you're doing all you can. And you will never, ever, when you care with all your heart to be the best you can for your kids, because you know, literally, it's the only thing in life that matters is how they go through life. And after you're gone, is how they're living a good, healthy life. That's all that matters. Yeah. And so you'll never be enough in your own mind. But thankfully, we have beautiful kids that give us that grace. And that's why in this case, and you make such great points, since we don't know her family, we don't know her situation. We've heard rumors, we've seen it, what we see on social media. That's why I place so much more responsibility on David's parents. Yeah. So they do have the resources. He has the resources. Why weren't you being the watchdog for people like this? You know, for someone who's going to get, because inevitably, you know, he's going to have people that are going to want to become part of that entourage. They're going to be sucked into that world they want to be part of. You know, so where are them with their awareness to parent their underage guy who's now in his early 20s, you know, from this kind of stupid. So and that's to your point, I think, is that, hey, if you do have the resources as parents, where are you? Why aren't you showing up to see these red flags when they arise, so you can prevent stupid things and happening and really tragedy for everyone?
Yeah, and how it's a very different sort of parenting that raises somebody who's that narcissistic, and we can say probably somewhat psychopathic, if not very psychopathic, and a predator. And those are, I think, the parents where, you know, it's probably easier to dissect the family and go, okay, we can see some really weird things about, because you have to feed that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's personality development. You know, it's his brain is not fully cooked at this point. But even with that, this is not normal to have a predator as your child. And that, to me, is the ultimate parent failure.
Is the culture that David was living in and really was kind of brought up in, I mean, he was online. His big thing was originally, I think, playing video games. And, you know, and it's for a lot of people that's how they're getting attention. That's how they're getting their followings, is people watching them play video games. I know. But it is certainly a big thing. That sort of culture where it's performative. They're turning it on. Their mic's on. People are watching because they like to see what they're doing on the game and what their commentary is about their game. And then when they go into a chat here or whatever over here, it's turning it on. It's turning it off at a very very young age of and different audiences in each group. They have to know who they're speaking to and how to speak to them to elicit the attention, the reaction, the following that they get. It's a very, you know, it's something that we, as an adult, I know how to do that when we go on the air and we do shows, but that's what we do. I'm an adult. This is, you know, this is the building blocks of life. You're trying to figure it out. Your brain's not fully cooked yet. This is how you're learning to stack things on top of one another as for how you're going to operate going forward. That in itself, is that a dangerous world for a young brain to be in, where it's, I can be very performative here, I can act this way, I can be this person to these people, I can be this person to those people, and I can be this other person to these people. Mm-hmm. Teens and kids, we all have done that to a certain extent. There's only, you know, certain things you say to your parents and certain things you don't. You do have that separated. But is it, I mean, are we ingraining this in such a deeper level than we used to be through social media, through training kids with their performances, if you will, with who they talk to in so many compartmentalized ways? Are we creating a little generation of psychopaths to a certain extent or more likely to go down that road of narcissism? Because they have learned, I have to be this person to these people, I can be this person to those people, and that person to these people, and at the end of the day, it's all about how I feel, and I want to feel good and happy, mm-hmm. and I'll manipulate all these, and I'll pull the levers how I need to get where I need to go, and I'm not looking back. That's a very long question, but is that where we're sitting right now in terms of the atmosphere?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's data, I haven't looked it up recently, but that narcissism is increasing in young people, and a lot of that has to do with exactly what you're talking about. Too much attention for the wrong reasons at a very young age when their personalities are still forming and they don't develop depth. You know, it's all about what character am I playing now? And they get high off the attention and the adulation. And it's really concerning. You know, I often say we know that people in the Hollywood film industry, you find a lot more narcissism. And that's what got them there, was this performative nature and this showing off for the cameras. It always just kills me, you know, things that pop up on my news feed with the, you know, the celebrity walk as they stop and they get their pictures taken and the posing and the, it just makes me cringe. It just makes me cringe because what are we celebrating in this culture? You know, we make people celebrities for very foolish reasons.
It's because they're, you know, they think that 5-second highlight reel that they're seeing from someone else is that life, and they get caught up in the disease of comparison and the cult of more.
Yeah.
And they make that their true identity that they're seeking. And to a lot of our viewers, points, yes, 100%, David is culpable for his actions and is accountable for his actions. I think with the curiosity that we're exploring is how far out does that culpability start spreading?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're really seeing, and it's definitely in the school shooter situations where parents are being more culpable. So we're kind of just exploring, you know, who else is actually should have known more, could have known more. Definitely he knew better from right and wrong, but also who else in this circle, how far out does the crazy spread?
Yeah, yeah. It would be a fascinating case study to take all that apart. And I think that's what we try to do with our conversations on this show is look at all the factors. Because in truth, when you have a crime, something horrible that happens, it's usually not just one thing. Sometimes it is, and that makes me think of somebody who just had a psychotic episode and did something terrible. And so the psychosis was what caused it. But that's a small percentage of crimes.
Very small.
And most of the time, it's this multifactorial stuff, and it's all the different things that led up to it. And there's a lot of factors involved.
I love that. Multifactorial.
I like what you said.
One of my favorite words.
Oh, you got a lot of words I love to put on. I keep writing yours down.
We'll have t-shirts soon. Don't have depth. I think that's a very good point, and we're going to get into that here in our next segment. By the way, Siobhan's book, Nightbird, available wherever you get books. Go check it out right now. It is her memoir, and it's phenomenal. Please do go and check that out.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.